السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, we continue with our series of lectures on the questions that we have to answer, the questions of the grave. And as I mentioned last week, the first condition of building the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the first question of the grave is, Man Rabbuk? Who is your Rabb? And as I mentioned last week, who is your Rabb is not a question which is asking for information. It's a question which is asking about a relationship. Who is your Rabb? The answer of it is, Rabbi Allah. My Rabb is Allah. My Rabb is Allah. You're not saying Rabbul Alameen. No. My Rabb is Allah. Therefore, Man Rabbuk is a question that relates to a relationship. And that is the reason why we need to ask ourselves, what is that relationship with respect to myself? Do I have a relationship at all? And if I have a relationship, how healthy is that relationship? Is it sick? Is it dead? Is it healthy? Is it alive? Well, because that is the question that we have to answer, a question which relates to a relationship. And therefore, it is very important for us to build that relationship. And we build this relationship, as I mentioned, by three things. One is shukr, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for all that we receive from Him. The second one is through obedience. And the third one is through ittiba of the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned about shukr last week, and as I said, that is the first condition of building the relationship. We cannot have or cannot claim to have a relationship with somebody with whom, to whom we are not grateful for what we receive. The opposite of shukr is kufr. Kufr is denial. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ Let him be aware that my azab is severe. And therefore obviously, if somebody is getting azab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cannot claim to have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all related, we all have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of Him being our creator and Him being the owner of the day of judgment. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the relationship of love of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So shukr is the first condition. And how do we demonstrate this shukr? How do we know that we have shukr? How do we prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have shukr? And that proving, that demonstration is through obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobedience is ingratitude. Disobedience is kufr. Kufran ni'ma or kufr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And therefore, disobedience is to declare our ingratitude, the opposite of shukr, by using what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us against and in opposition to His will. Disobedience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us eyesight, and if we deliberately see things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared to be haram, then we are using the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the eyesight, to do something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. And this is a demonstration of the kufran ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ni'mat of eyesight. If we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the eyesight that He gave us, then it is our duty to use that eyesight only in ways and in places that He has permitted us. Knowing fully well that it does not make any difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what we do with our eyes. The benefit is for us only. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us strength, He gave us wealth, He gave us influence, He gave us knowledge, He gave us speech, He gave us samad, basarat, kalam, every single thing that we have, came to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. I therefore remind myself and you, let us take stock of this and decide, is this true? Let us do this. It sounds like a no-brainer, but I think no-brainers are appropriate for people who have no brains. I don't mean you, all the people outside the masjid. Because how do you explain a Muslim who accepts that he got everything from Allah and then he uses it against the will of Allah? Yeah, this is not a sign of intelligence as far as I am concerned. So the no-brainer is what? It is to decide, did I get this from Allah only or did I get it from somewhere else? If you got it from somewhere else, then of course you have the will and you have the freedom to do whatever you want with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no right to question you because He did not give it to you. So when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if He asks, and may Allah protect us from this. And if we stand before Him and if He asks, what did you do with your eyesight? Then you have a right to say, Allah, don't ask me that question. You didn't give it to me. Somebody else gave it to me. I used it whichever way I wanted. So this question is invalid. Right? I'm saying seriously. I mean, this is what we are talking about. And the fact that you shake your heads, meaning that you do not agree with this. Alhamdulillah, we got it from Allah. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a right to question us about how we use it. And if we got it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, then we have to use it according to what He prescribed. Do you agree? Yes or no?
Yes.
And this is true for everything, because we got everything from Allah. We breathe by His will. We think by His will. SubhanAllah, just go into a hospital, just go, I mean, we hear these cases after cases after cases. My brother works in America, he runs a very large health management service. He's got, you know, many, many doctors who work for him. And when he comes, he tells me all these great stories of various kinds of illnesses that people have. And although it's very painful to listen to that, I listen to them because it's a source of ibrat for me. And it's amazing how somebody with a huge amount of knowledge, one thing goes wrong. And what is that one thing? It's just the amount of sodium and potassium in his blood. The salts in his blood. Just that one thing goes wrong. And all that knowledge of that person, all that scholarly knowledge of that person becomes zero because he gets dementia. He goes mad. Just one thing. I mean, physically nothing is wrong with the man. It's just that the sodium and potassium in his blood changed. The proportion changed. And he gets dementia. And then it doesn't end there. You take the person to the hospital and now they are giving him those salts intravenously, sodium and potassium. And if that intravenous injection of those salts is given to him and the speed at which that liquid flows into his blood, if it is a little bit high, then the patient goes into complete paralysis, total paralysis. He cannot even blink his eyelids. And at the same time, all his faculties are intact. He can feel, he can hear, he can think, he can see. Now imagine the plight of that person. He is lying in that bed. He can feel everything. He gets an itch, his foot itches. A mosquito bites him. You get the point I'm making? He can not only can he not drive away the mosquito, he cannot even tell you to drive away the mosquito. He can do nothing. He has to lie there and he has to suffer that pain. His faculties are intact. There's nothing wrong with him. He can understand, he can listen, his brain is working, his faculties are intact. He is suffering and he can do nothing about it. The nurses who are there, they have to be conscious enough to look at him and say, is his hand this way, that way, what happened to him? Otherwise, everything that happens to you and me, and which we deal with without even thinking about it, happens to that man and he can do nothing about it. So when we use these faculties and these strengths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us against his will, let us ask ourselves this question: what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away that? And as I told you, just takes a pinch of salt. There's no great calamity has to come. Lightning doesn't have to strike you or me. Jibreel alayhi salam does not have to come and catch me or you by the throat. A pinch of salt. I suggest keep this as a mental marker. You know, in psychology we teach people how to get over different kinds of addictions, and we say keep a mental marker. Keep a little acronym which will remind you of what you should be doing. And I suggest you keep this acronym, a pinch of salt. Anytime that you are about to do something which Allah has prohibited, remind yourself, pinch of salt. Inshallah, may Allah protect you from the evil of that thing which you were going to do because you thought of a pinch of salt. One pinch of salt more or one pinch of salt less in your blood gives you dementia. All the knowledge becomes zero. My brothers and sisters, obedience is the key to the treasures of Allah Jalla Jalalu. Obedience is the essence of ubudiyat. Obedience is the principal characteristic of the Anbiya. Obedience is the single most important sign that you and I trust the one who gave the command. You do not obey only those you do not trust, whose intentions you doubt, who you believe do not have your best interests at heart, and who you believe may cause you harm. Such people you do not obey and you should not obey. You don't obey those who you don't respect. You do not obey those you do not respect. You do not obey those who you do not consider worthy of being obeyed. My brothers and sisters, I ask you, and I ask myself, is this what we believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That He is unworthy of respect? That He has our worst interest at heart? That He will harm us? That we do not trust Him? That He is not trustworthy? Jalla jalaluhu, na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Is this what we believe about Allah? Is this what we believe about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? That he is untrustworthy, that he is not worthy of being respected, that he is not worthy of being obeyed? Is this our belief about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? My question to you, ask yourself this question once more, another non-brainer. If we can simply answer these non-brainers, I believe we will be safe and sound in Jannah, inshallah. Let us think and reflect. Don't live mechanical lives. Like a robot, you know, twist the key and it runs round and round and round and the battery runs out and it dies. Let us think, let us reflect. Do we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do we respect them? Do we consider them to be our well-wishers or not? Then what's the problem with obeying them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this about His Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam, who obeyed Him completely and totally. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Baqarah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين. When His Rabb said to Him, submit, He said, I have submitted. إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت. No arguments. His Rabb said, do, He said, I have done. Make sajda, I made sajda. No arguments, no questions, no delay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked this action so much that He gave it to us. He put it in His kalam for us to read and to understand and to take as an example of how we should live our lives. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told him to leave his wife and newborn child in a barren valley and go away. And he did that without asking any question. And remember, this child was not any ordinary child. He was not one among 20 children. He was the only child. And that only child which he got at the age of 80 something years old. After asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua for a child, for an heir, to carry on the message of Islam. The Anbiya do not ask for heirs because they have properties to leave behind. The property of the Anbiya is ilm, is knowledge. And he asks for this dua and Allah gives him a child. And then Allah says, take the child and leave him in this place. Ibrahim alayhi salam is at that time in Palestine. And he is being told to leave the child where? In what is today Makkah. Barren valley. What happens to a woman, single woman and a newborn baby? What is logically what should happen to them if you take them and leave them in the middle of nowhere? No water, no food, no habitation, no cultivation, not even a tree to sit under, to shade from the sun. What is going to happen to somebody if you leave them there? They die, right? What would you and I do? Wallahi, subhanallah, I mean, I think, you know, even to say these questions. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam do? He took them, he left them, he left a small bag of leathers, bag of water, he left a small bag of dates, and he walked away. He did not even explain to his wife what he was doing or why he was doing it. Walked away. What did she do? She asked a question, logical, sensible, logical question which any woman will ask in that situation. She said, where are you going? He did not answer. Kept walking away. Then she asked the question, a second question. First question, logical, natural question any woman will ask. Second question, the question of a mu'mina. Second question, the question of somebody who knows Allah, who recognizes Allah. Huh? What is the second question? Did your Rabb order you to do this? She didn't ask the second time, where are you going, why are you going? She asked him once, why are you going, where are you going? When he didn't answer, second question comes from her yaqeen in her Rabb. Did your Rabb order you to do this? Ibrahim alayhi salam nods his head. And then her third response. Her third response. What is that? She said, go. He said, go. She said, if your Rabb ordered you to do this, then he will not allow us to perish. Tawakkul ala Allah. We like to talk about that. She demonstrated it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked this so much. And then he liked her sa'i so much, her effort so much, that he made it the rukun of Umrah and Hajj. That millions upon millions of people to come after till the day of judgment or until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the Hajj, including all the Anbiya, including all the Awliya, their Umrah does not happen, their Hajj does not happen, unless they imitate, without reason, unless they imitate the actions of Hajar alayhi salam. She had a reason for that action because she was looking to see if she can get some help. She climbed the hill of Safa, came down to the baby, baby is crying, she ran from there, and then she climbed the hill of Marwa, came down, ran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this whole thing, including the running. Ajeeb, huh? She had a reason for doing it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her action the reason for everybody else. Imagine, my brothers and sisters, if Hajar alayhi salam, when she was running, if she had this knowledge that Allah is going to make this action a rukun of Hajj, that Allah is going to make the Anbiya do this, that He is going to make one of her descendants called Muhammad Ibn Abdullah alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if she had the knowledge that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to do this, if she had the knowledge that thousands and thousands and millions of Muslims are going to do this, believe me, she would have run up and down those hills with a big smile on her face. She would have run up and down those hills with a big smile on her face. I'm saying this because this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes when we do things for the sake of Allah, we question ourselves and we say, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? What difference does it make? Who is listening? Who cares? You say the same thing again and again and again, then you see the same stuff happening. Oh, what does it matter? Why should I do this? And that is when you must remind yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own ways of taking something forward. We don't know that. So do what you must do for the pleasure of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu alone. And then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that action, then He will make it happen. Then He will take it forward. Ibrahim alayhi salam walks away. He goes over the hilltop. And when he has reached a place where they cannot see him, he turns around and he makes dua. And he says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ربنا إني أسكنت بذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تحوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made. And Allah says, he made this dua and he said, O our Rabb, I have made some of my people, my offspring, to dwell in an uncultivable valley by your sacred house. And remember, at that time there is no house there. In order, our Rabb, see the sequence of what He is asking. According to you and me, what is the first need of those people? What is the first need of Hajar alayhi salam and Ibrahim, Ismail alayhi salam, newborn baby? What is their first need? Safety. If you are dead, you are dead. Safety. First need is safety. Second need is food. Third need, if possible, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes? But when the Nabi makes dua, the dua of the Nabi is wahi from Allah. So see the order of what he is asking. He says, Oh Allah, I have left them there by your hukam, so that they may establish a salah. Newborn baby is going to establish salah? So that they may establish salah. The reason for leaving them, number one reason, so that they may establish the hukam of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu on the face of the earth. And then he says, so fill some hearts with love for them, with respect for them. What does it tell us? Love and respect is an outcome of obedience to Allah. Let them engage in actions which please you, so that the effect of that is that the people will be pleased with them, that the people will love them and they will be obedient to them. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam, and this is the shan of the dua of the Anbiya. I always say, read the Quran and try to reflect on this. The Anbiya never make dua keeping themselves and their conditions in mind. They make dua keeping the glory and magnificence of Allah in mind. Ibrahim alayhi salam is making a dua in a barren valley, And he is not saying, "Oh Allah, please give them a little bit of food. Give them one dry piece of bread. Give them a little bit of camel milk." No. He says, "Oh Allah, give them from, provide them with fruits." Samarat. Fruits. In a valley where there is not even a blade of grass. But the Nabi doesn't care. The Nabi is asking the one who has no limit. So why must I make a dua with limits? Oh Allah, give because you can give. Give because you can give. I don't care. Conditions, who cares? What conditions? You are the creator of conditions. If you need conditions, make the conditions. If the current conditions are not good, change them. You told me to ask you and I will ask you. I don't care about conditions. What conditions? What constraints? You don't go to a king with constraints. You go to a king because you have constraints. You go to the king because he has no constraints. One of our Nizams, Mir Mahbub Ali Khan, may Allah forgive him and forgive him his sins and give him Jannah inshallah. Mahbub Ali Pasha was in his palace, and at that time he used to live in Falaknuma. And a beggar came and started right beneath his room, you know, under the balcony, he started shouting and asking for something, asking for money. So Mahbub Ali Pasha got irritated and he came out on the balcony and said, "Ja, teri kismat mein kuch nahi hai." I'll translate it for the others. He said, "Ja, teri kismat mein kuch nahi hai." Fakir bala, "Kismat mein nahi hai, isiliye aaya, teri kismat se de bala." He said to him, "Go, there is nothing in your destiny." He said, "That is why I came. I came because there is nothing in my destiny." He said, "Give from your destiny." What do you think he did? He went inside and covered him in gold. He threw Ashrafi's bags of gold on the man. He said, "Merry Christmas." अजीब हमको इतना भी माई फकीर का ईमान भी नहीं है अल्लाह होता है अल्लाह मिले अल्लाह से दुआ मांगते डर डर के मर मर के अभी आज का अल्लाह से बाहर होता है फुल हार्ट इज फुल ऑफ फियर विल दिस हैपन विल दैट हैपन अल्लाह वाला होता है अल्लाह अरे अल्लाह से अल्लाह की शान के बराबर मांगो मत मांगो है So Ibrahim alayhi salam makes dua. Oh Allah, give them fruits. Dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wallahi, today you go to Makkah, there is no fruit you can't find in Makkah. Nowadays they built all these fancy hotels all around the Kaaba, but when I first went in 1997, there were all little shops all around. And you could see all those fruits, you know, on the street, on the pavement, every kind of fruit. In the middle of Saudi Arabia, in the middle of the desert, you find bananas and all sorts of stuff. The dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam continues thousands of years later. I'm talking about obedience, unquestioning obedience and the results thereof. So Ibrahim alayhi salam makes this dua. Oh Allah, help them to establish Salah. Oh Allah, I put them there so that they can establish Salah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn the hearts of people towards them. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give them, provide them from fruits so that they may make shukr. Provide so that they may make shukr. So that they may give thanks. And he's gone back to Palestine. And then he comes back maybe 7-8 years later. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that in the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to sacrifice the son. Again, no explanations. Sacrifice the son. He doesn't ask why. Imagine, he comes. And then he has this conversation with his son. Subhanallah, every time, the first time I read this ayat blew me away. And every time I read this ayat, it blows me away. It makes me think, what kind of people are these? My brother and sister, something is very seriously wrong with our iman. Wallahi, I'm talking about myself. Seriously wrong with our iman. Because how is it that the same people who said, La ilaha illallah, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, La ilaha illallah. How is it that they had this iman and they had this complete and total yaqeen which gave them so much power and so much courage? But it doesn't do that to us. Allah is the same. Allah hasn't changed. So Ibrahim alayhi salam comes and he has this conversation. And remember, what's the conversation? The conversation is between a 90-year-old man and his 8 or 9-year-old son. Wallahu alam, what the exact ages were, but that's about what the Mufassirin tell us that this is about what they were. And this son, conversation that he's having with him is the first time he's actually seeing him. I mean, when the baby was a newborn baby, you know, you can't say that. Well, he saw him, but the son obviously probably didn't even know who his father was. But now, first time he meets his son, this is the conversation he's having with his son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this whole thing. He described this entire scene for us. So put yourself, when you heard, I'm going to recite those ayat, and put yourself in that situation. Put yourself in that situation, live and see that. Stand on the side and watch this conversation happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام إني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين فلما أسلما وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين إن هذا لهو البلاء المبين وفديناه بذبح عظيم وتركنا عليه في الآخرين سلام على إبراهيم كذلك نجزي المحسنين إنه من عباد المؤمنين. Who is saying Salamun ala Ibrahim? Huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is saying Salam on Ibrahim. And when you read that ayah, Allah gives you 10 hasanat for every letter of that ayah. Not every word. Every letter of that ayah. When you read that ayah in salah, Allah gives you 100 hasanat for every letter of that ayah. Salamun ala Ibrahim. What is the power of that ayah? If you deny that ayah, you are exit from Islam. Any ayah of the Quran, you deny an ayah of the Quran, you are murtad. That is the power and majesty and glory of the word of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. He is saying, Salamun ala Ibrahim. Eh? The wages of obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and when he, the son, was old enough to walk with him. Is he talking about a teenager? Is he talking about a 20-year-old, 30-year-old? Old enough to walk means what? Just about started walking. When his son was old enough to walk with him, he said, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, oh my son, I have seen in a dream that I am slaughtering you, offering you in sacrifice to Allah. And then he said, Fanzur maza tara. I've mentioned this so many times. Fanzur maza tara. Again, the problem is, they mistranslate this ayah. They say, look inside and what do you think? But Ibrahim alayhi salam did not say, what do you think? Allah did not use those words. He said, Mada tara, what do you see? We use our brains when we are translating and we say, well, see, you know, since I can't see anything, well, it means think. See does not mean think. Think means think. See means see. Here is Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Nabi of Allah, who is 90 something years old, asking his little son, look inside your heart, what do you see? What do you see? What must be the spiritual development of that child to be able to actually answer a question like that? That he can actually see something. And he said what he saw. He said, oh my father, do what you have been commanded to do. Insha'Allah, you will find me among the sabirin. You will find that I will have sabr. And then Allah said, and then when they had both submitted themselves to the will of Allah, and he had laid him prostrate on his forehead or on the side for slaughtering, Allah said, we called out to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ajib, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah spoke to him directly. Allah did not say, I sent Jibreel. No, we called out to him. Allah spoke to him directly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I called him, I spoke to him. We called out to him, and what did Allah say? Ya Ibrahim, saddaqta ar-ruya. Oh Ibrahim, you have fulfilled your dream, your vision. And then Allah says, verily, this is how we reward the muhsinun. Verily, that indeed was a very difficult trial. Allah is saying, yes, I gave him a very difficult test. And then we ransomed him with a great sacrifice of a ram. And we left for him a good remembrance among generations. Just a few days ago, we relived that and we re-remembered that. Salamun ala Ibrahim. Allah said, salam on Ibrahim. Thus indeed do we reward the Muhsinun. Verily, he was one of our believing slaves. My brothers and sisters, what will you give? What will you give? To have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu as your witness on the Day of Judgment. Think. My last no-brainer for today. Think. What will you give to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu as your witness? To have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the angel says, man rabbuk? To have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, hadha abdi. I'm not saying this will happen, I'm saying, wallah alam. What will you give for that? To have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bear witness that you are his slave. There is no honor greater than to be called abdi, my slave. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to his obedience. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put power in our dua. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand that power in the dua comes only and only from obedience to Allah and from the ittiba of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to this knowledge. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your lives with barakah, to fill your lives with nur, to take away your difficulties because for him they are not difficult, to fulfill every need of yours because for him that is not difficult, to give you all that you desire with khair because for him that is not difficult. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you in this life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your life at the time when he is pleased with you, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect you in a state when he is pleased with you. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.